Not everyone. Not everyone. Tell me, what did Jesus mean? Well, if we read in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, we'll get the answer. Are you with me? The title of my message is, Not Everyone. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. How many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in to the kingdom of heaven. That's so sad, isn't it? Because you know, whether you realize it or not, you want to be where the Lord is. You want to be in glory. You want to be in heaven. You want to be where everything is proper and in its place. You want to be there where there's no more sorrow. You may say, I don't believe it. I don't care. Well, that's your problem. But you must know anyway. You must know the truth. Because it is the truth that sets you free. In thy name, you've done many good works, wonderful works, in fact. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Everyone, whether you're saved or just think you're saved, not everyone will agree with these words spoken by Jesus Christ. Now, what did Jesus mean when he said, not everyone? Why not everyone? Why not? Could the answer be found amongst those who only think they are saved? For sure. There are millions that have cried out to the Lord in their moment of despair, Lord, have mercy. And yet have not believed in him as Lord and Savior. Have not believed in him as Lord and Savior. People on the job. People who have never given him a second thought except to blaspheme his home. Blaspheme, rather, his holy name. Among these are many under the guise of what is known as easy believism. They're there too. Oh, yes. Easy believism. Right from the pit. Only those certified through the shed blood of the Lamb slain for the sin of the world. Only those who have repented and believed in the great atonement and propitiation of Christ our Lord. Now look at the second half of verse 21. What's it say? But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It's a three-way street to the throne of exoneration. Number one, pray to God the Father, filling his ears with joyful repentance. Number two, acknowledging the Lamb who was led to the slaughter to take your place and wash and regenerate you so you can stand in that line that is destined for glory. And number three, that the redemptive power of God, the Holy Spirit, may seal you until that glorious, glorious day of redemption for all eternity. Not just for a week or a month or a year, but for all eternity. Not everyone that walketh down the aisle of apostasy, repeating over and over, Lord, Lord, shall find comfort in the bosom of our mighty God. No. Be advised, people, be advised when that day comes. Not all who saith, Lord, Lord, shall be in that number, but only those whose names are inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life, written therein. The will of the Father is that ye repent and believe. Now is the time of repentance. Now is the time to believe in what Jesus did at Calvary. Now take note of verse 22. Many, many, not a few, no, not the few who have not believed from the beginning, but the multitudes who wait patiently on the sidelines, but are void of the Holy Spirit. In the distance waits the evil one, wherein your name is written in his scroll of death. His scroll of death. Their torment will lie dormant at the Savior's feet, for their works were not able to save them. Oh, I did this, I did that. I helped this old lady across the street. I helped the child who was hungry. Am I not good enough? No, your works will never save you. You must repent and believe what Jesus did. Their demise is foretold in verse 23. Listen carefully. In the words of the Lord Jesus, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, what sorrow there will be. Ye that work iniquity, who are those of whom the Lord speaks? Who are they? They are the unrepentant, the scourge of the earth, those who will dwell in hell. Who are they? Look back at verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. The word of concern here is few. Few, of course, is the opposite of many. Few there be that find it. You will be in those, or will you? Will you be in those faithful few? Will you? You can be. You can be in that number who will stand with Jesus on the golden shore. A little song we learned when I was in a church down east and in our Christian school. We used to sing it quite a bit. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak, for me, for you. Some golden daybreak. People, this is not a sermon of condemnation. No, but rather a sermon of exaltation. Exaltation. Exalt our mighty God. Believe in his Son. Repent and give yourself over to him today. Today is your day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Don't put up. Please don't put it off till tomorrow. It may be too late. Soon, soon, very soon, the eastern sky will break and the trump of God will give forth a mighty sound. And the voice of the archangel will call, "Come up hither!" But only those who are truly saved, who belong to him, will hear these beautiful sounds. And in the twinkling of an eye, our vile bodies will be changed, changed, like unto his glorious body, as we are swept up to meet the Lord in the air. And I love this last line, "And so shall we ever be with him." So shall we ever be with him. Oh, how that warms my heart to know that I will be in that number. I will be in that few. Will you? Now, if you do have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn, please, to Thessalonians. Now, let me see. Thessalonians. That would be 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Okay, I just like to go through this quickly because it's important that you know, that you hear, that you realize the truth that's hidden here if you have not noticed it before. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now, he says, brethren, he's talking to the saved here, see? "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep," prevent or precede. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." That's those who have gone on before us. Verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words," with these words. Dear people, this is the rapture of the church of Christ. Those who belong to him. This first time he came to set us free at Calvary. This time he comes with a sword to pass judgment. That's his second coming at the end of the tribulation. That's when he comes with the sword. Now the rapture, my friends, is to occur at any moment. We don't know. It could be even before I finish this message. It is a time when the saved in Christ will be taken out of the way of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period. It is a time when the Holy Spirit of God, which dwelleth in each of us, will be removed from off the earth, taken out. The Holy Spirit is God's restraining force against sin, and he will be removed for now. He will leave this cursed earth below to make way for that man of perdition, the Antichrist. And those who are not saved, those who have rejected Christ, will come under a strong delusion. A strong delusion that God will send upon the whole world, and they will believe a lie. That lie is, he who was appointed by Satan, who will lead and determine, or deceive rather, all who will hearken unto his call, he is the Antichrist. You will believe him. This world as we know it will terminate at the end of the Great Tribulation, 7 years later, when Christ returns at his second coming. But we won't be here. We won't have to worry about that. Because when he comes at his second coming, he comes with the sword. And that's when he comes and puts his feet upon the earth at the Mount of Olives, which will split wide open. Friends, how important is this message to you? The most crucial ending to this warning is clearly outlined in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. 2 Thessalonians, let's turn there, chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. 7 years later, when Christ returns at his second coming. And here's what the Bible says. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And I'll add verse 12 here. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Oh, I pray you're not in that number. I pray you will make, excuse me, that important decision now. Please. Please hear me. Please. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Please listen carefully. I'll go through this again. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Is that going to be you? Here it comes. And for this cause, God will send them what? Strong delusion. See, preachers especially, they just ignore strong delusion. They don't want to talk about it. I don't know why. Because it's going to happen. It's part of God's word. It's a very important part. God will send them who have rejected Christ strong delusion that they should believe a lie. You know what that lie is? The lie is that they'll believe in the Antichrist. They'll worship him as their God. How can God make it any clearer? If you reject Jesus Christ this side of the rapture, which could occur at any moment, any day, what does the scripture say? You will believe a what? A lie. A little word with a big meaning. Lie. Let that word ring in your ears for a moment. Will you be one of them? You will be if you don't repent and get yourself in order with Christ now. A lie. You won't have a second chance. You might say, I'm not sure I understand that. Well, that's too bad. You know what? You will not even give it that kind of thought, because you will receive what God is going to send upon you, and that is the strong delusion. He will send it, I tell you. Now keep this in mind. Keep it in mind. The tribulation is basically for God dealing with Israel, who had been set aside during the time of the Gentiles. And now it's Jacob's trouble. It's not to deal with the Gentiles. God will ordain 144,000 Jews who will gather his remnant from the four corners of the earth, that they will have an opportunity to be saved. This is Israel. This is not us. They will suffer great persecution, even be slain. Many will hide in the crevices of the rocks. Many. So, I would urge you all to make sure of your calling. Do not let the time of the rapture catch you unawares. Today is the day of salvation. Today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow is for procrastinators. Tomorrow could be too late. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A quick summary and then I'll be finished. This message today is all about, it's all about your salvation, your destiny. Where will you spend it? Not everyone, but only a few. Well, you might be saying, and I've heard people say it before, we can't be sure, you know, that what you're saying is true. I mean, yeah, that's written in the Bible maybe, but there's a whole lot of Bibles out there that say different things. Oh, yes, there is. But they're not the Word of God. They're not Psalm 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words as silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. They're not those. No. They are lies, misconceptions, confusion from the master of confusion himself, that old devil. I implore you, consider today as your day of repentance and salvation. Pray to God, fall on your knees. Pray to God Almighty and say, Lord God, I'm sorry. I want to know the salvation of Jesus Christ. I want to be a part of it. I believe that he went to Calvary. I believe that he suffered and bled and died for a sinner like me. Oh, Lord. Say it. Say it with meaning. Say it from your heart. God looks upon the heart, you know. And you know what God does? Just what Jesus said. No man cometh unto me except the Father draw them. You see, you pray to God the Father, and he draws you to his Son. Did you know that? A lot of people just skip God the Father and go directly to the Son. But you know, Jesus came to this earth to please the Father. He says many times in the Scriptures, he's here to glorify his Father in heaven. And that's why he went to Calvary. But he almost changed his mind when he was in the garden at Gethsemane. And he was all alone, and he was to be crucified. following day. It was late at night. And he was filled with great anguish. He did not feel he wanted to do this, to suffer the pain and the agony. His disciples, they were a stone's throw away, sleeping. Jesus was all alone. You know what he cried out to his Father and said? He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup," the cup means what was coming, the crucifixion, "let this cup pass from me." But then he went on to say, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And I am so glad that he went on and put the rest of that in there, or else we would be all eternity lost. And he went to Calvary. They spat upon him. They kicked him. They whipped him. They mutilated him. They hung him on a tree. Nailed him there. And he suffered. He bled and he died for you and for me. I urge you, give this some deep consideration today. Tomorrow may be too late. And if you think you're saved and you're going around telling everybody, "I'm saved, I'm going to heaven," and they see that you're not living a Christian life, you better examine yourself. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves to see if we truly are in the faith. Because there are a lot of people walking around under the false impression that they're going to heaven. "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Sure, I'm a Christian. I believe in the Bible." And then they're down the local pub bending the elbow and listening to dirty jokes. People, God will not be mocked. Please, please consider what has been told here today. Don't be a victim of that strong delusion that God will send upon those who have failed to accept Christ. Don't be one of them. You'll be sorry. For all eternity, you'll be sorry. I want to thank you for listening. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for these words you've given me. And thank you for your words, Lord, which you've put in my heart. I pray, Lord, that all who have heard this message today, Lord, will either get saved, or if they think they're saved and they're really not, Lord, that they will check it out, Lord. That they will examine themselves to see if they truly are in the faith. Has their life changed? Or do they still seek to do the things they did before that are unpleasing to Thee, Lord? Lord God, I pray, because You, Lord God, are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank You, Father. All glory is Yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.